loose one at a club or something. Trey's mine! This pack is mine! Her eyes flashed wolf as her attention turned back to Taryn. You'll never be accepted here as alpha female, never! You might have gotten most of them to pledge their loyalty to you, but you're naive if you think they all meant it.
Amen, muttered a witchy voice.
Taryn returned Greta's glare. Hey, old Mother Hubbard. Still alive? Guess those voodoo dolls don't work after all.
Yes, yes, make your jokes, hussy.
Who said I was joking? A cruel smirk played around the edges of Selma's mouth.
I'll bet it hurts knowing you'll never run together with Trey in your wolf form.
It did, actually, but Taryn wouldn't let her see that her hit had met its target. You know, I can't understand why you'd spoil such gorgeous blonde hair by dyeing your roots black. Selma's smirk died and was replaced by a snarl. She probably would have said more if Trey, Dante, and Tao hadn't then entered the kitchen. Dante and Tao both greeted Taryn with smiles and respectful nods of the head.
Hey, why didn't you wait for me?
Trey asked, against her lips as he stepped between her legs. He heard Selma, a mostly naked Selma, his peripheral vision informed him, call his name, but he didn't pay her any attention. He wasn't stupid.
I needed caffeine.
Taryn gratefully accepted the plate of food Grace handed her. Trey frowned when Grace didn't present him with a plate of his own.
You don't have to start running around after her just because she's officially your alpha female,
Greta told Grace. Trey groaned. The woman never let up. Unable to resist needling her, Taryn said,
You know, Greta, you and I will get on a whole lot better once you accept that I'm a goddess.
At that moment, Marcus entered and, obviously having heard her comment, bowed to her.
Oh, beautiful goddess, how may I serve thee?
Trey slapped him lightly over the head.
A goddess? I gave you my loyalty because I'd never do anything to upset my grandson, but I'll never see you as my alpha female.
Yeah? Watch me pretend to care. In actuality, she could demand Greta's complete submission and even punish her for her disrespect. But Taryn wasn't interested in being one of those alphas who were so damn strict that they basically prevented the members from having minds of their own. She didn't want the loyalty of her pack out of fear, but out of respect. If a few members weren't prepared to give her that, then fine, whatever. Besides, she was so used to her relationship with Greta being like this that it would feel kind of weird if it was any different. And it was way too much fun to battle with her. By the time Taryn had downed her breakfast and morning coffee, Trey had gone to his office as usual to check his emails and do whatever else he did in there. Taking advantage of his absence, Taryn went outside to the small clearing and then made her way into the forest, headed for the river. She hadn't been there since the anniversary of her mom's birthday, nor had she felt the need to, until now. On finally coming to the river, she sat on the same boulder as on the previous visit, again, enjoying the fresh, crisp air and the various comforting smells. She wasn't sure how long she sat there trying to pluck up the courage to speak, to find the right words. Finally, she took a deep breath, swallowed hard, and straightened her posture.
Hey, Joe. God, where do I start?
Last time I was pretty miserable, huh? Remember I told you all about how the alpha I'd mated with was basically ignoring my existence? His name's Trey. I don't think I ever told you that. Well, things are kind of totally the opposite now. We'd sort of discovered that it turns out we're true mates. I bit him yesterday and the bond clicked into place. I feel awful for saying this, but, well, I'm happy about it. I'm so sorry if that makes you hate me, but I'd rather not lie to you. You don't mean any less to me than you did before. It's like I said to Shia, you have your own space inside me. And now so does Trey. And now he's feeling it. And I love him. I'd like to think you can be happy for me, that you wouldn't want me being alone. I know I'd feel that way if the positions were reversed. Although I admit I'm petty enough that I'd have been a little jealous.
but I wouldn't have wanted you to be lonely or to never find someone who cared for you. And that's what I have. Not love, no. I'm not sure I'll ever have that, so I'm not even sure our mating bond will ever be fully formed. But I'm actually happy. I hope you can be glad for me. With tears clouding her vision, she rose and smiled. Love you. Miss you. Although her heart felt as heavy as it usually did after talking to Joey, she wasn't filled with that old sense of hopelessness or plagued by a feeling of loneliness. Yes, she missed Joey. There was no way she couldn't. But now she knew that it wasn't because he had been her mate, but because of what close friends they had been. And now she had something good to go back to. Someone who had gotten rid of that emptiness she had once felt. Someone she loved. Her mate. She had taken approximately 10 steps when she realized she was no longer alone. Looking to her right, she saw a very familiar, whopping, big gray wolf. Hey there, Cujo. She knew that although the wolf would have picked up on her surface emotions, he wouldn't quite understand what her pain meant, or what she had been doing by the river, but there was a strong possibility that Trey did. She walked to the wolf and squatted beside him. He rubbed his jaw against hers and licked her ear. I had to explain to him, Trey, she said, knowing he would hear her. And I needed to find that piece. You get it, right? For a split second, the wolf's eyes flashed Trey's arctic blue, and she knew he was letting her know he had heard. Smiling, she shook his muzzle and pushed him away from her. Fancy a race? Then she was gone. She and the wolf played for something like an hour, tagging and chasing each other, wrestling, mock fighting and ambushing one another. Although he didn't hold back with those teeth or claws, he didn't once draw blood. Finally, they collapsed near the lake, beside Trey's discarded clothes, panting and huddled together. She hadn't meant to doze off, but it wasn't a great surprise that she did. She woke to the telling sound of popping and snapping. Opening her eyes, she saw Trey beside her in his human form once again. His sharp eyes were glinting with a light-heartedness she had never seen there before. His usual scowl had all but disappeared, and he wore a beaming smile. Knowing she was wondering at his uncharacteristic cheeriness, he explained,
I never really made time for playing and fooling around. I became alpha when I was just a teenager, remember? I had to grow up pretty quickly. There wasn't really fun or quirkiness in my life until you got here.
He clipped her hair behind her ear and kissed her lightly before sucking her bottom lip into his mouth. So you never really went out and had fun with the guys?
Not really. There I was, suddenly responsible for all these wolves, and I wasn't in a great frame of mind after everything that had happened. He exhaled heavily. I wasn't in control of my emotions. Hell, I didn't even know what the emotions were. There we were with no territory, no home, no money. I knew I needed to gain control fast or I'd never keep the pack alive.
So you bottled it all up, she said in a whisper. Turned yourself into a robot.
I guess I did. It wasn't hard to rein it all in. I'd always been good at that.
It tugged at her heart to know that he had basically missed out on his youth. Teenage years were about personal growth and fun and finding your identity. Trey had missed all that, and that was just unacceptable to Taryn. Well, now that I'm around, you'll be expected to have fun occasionally. Know that right now.
We have plenty of fun.
He grinned wickedly and licked over his mark while his hand cupped her breast. Not that kind of fun. She said a little breathlessly as he sucked and nibbled her neck. But we'll do lots of that, too. And they did do lots of that. In fact, they spent the next hour doing plenty of it. Have I ever told you that you have an epic ass? She said, thanking God for the creation of Levi's as she watched him walk ahead of her toward the caves. He laughed.
The one with the epic rear is you, baby. I should know. I've bitten your ass often enough.
She snickered. Where on my body haven't you bitten? Again, he laughed.
If I think of a place, I'll correct the oversight.
Maybe I'll retaliate.
Oh, I really hope you do.
Great. How about now, in your office?
Baby, does the word nympho mean anything to you?
At that second, the cell phone in his jeans pocket beeped.
It's a text from Brock, he told her. Apparently, Ryan's been trying to call me from the security shack and hasn't been able to get through.
Is the signal crap?
Doesn't seem to be. I'll go see Ryan, find out what he wants. He smacked a hard kiss on her lips. See you at dinner, if not before.
She released a dreamy sigh at the sight of his butt as he walked away at a leisurely pace. It was odd to see him do that. Usually he was always marching or running, too intense to be in any way relaxed. With his newfound sense of peace, however, that had changed. Not his personality, no, that hadn't changed. He would always be intense and menacing and much too serious, but she loved him anyway. She turned toward the stairs and ran her fingers idly along the mountain wall as she took each step. It tore at her to know that his life had always been so serious. He'd had so much responsibility, so much weight on his shoulders from such a young age. The thought of him watching as all the others got to relax and have fun, of him always feeling on the outside, made her chest ache. She could tell through their link that he hadn't realized how much it had actually bothered him until they bonded and suddenly he had someone who was his. As Alpha, he had always been slightly apart from the others. Now he had an equal, someone whom he could share everything with, and who was held to him by more than just pack loyalty. Someone who was also going to ensure that he learned how to have fun, whether he liked it or not. She would bet he had never set foot in a bowling alley or a cinema. Well, he would soon. And she knew that he would grumble the entire journey there. Still, she was set on him. Shit! Abruptly, she felt a sharp tug on her ankle, and suddenly she lost her footing, hit the ground hard, and struck the right side of her forehead on the stone step. Motherfucker! Then it was as if she was floating, as spots began to dance before her eyes, and there was a deafening, high-pitched ringing in her ears. Everything was suddenly so distant and foggy, and it felt as though she was falling into a dream. She might have completely fallen into it right that second if there hadn't been a sensation of two hands grabbing her ankles from behind and beginning to drag her down the stairs. She wanted to fight against the unseen force. She wanted to gain some purchase with her hands, but it was as if her body was disconnected from her somehow, like her limbs weren't there at all. Her vision had gone blurry. Everything seemed to be spinning, and she felt as though she was slipping away. Distantly, she realized there was a voice shouting something. Her name? Abruptly, her ankles were released, and she heard the sound of footsteps running away from her. There was more shouting, and she recognized the voice. Trey. It was Trey. She tried calling his name. Although her mouth formed the word, no sound came out at all. The shouting was nearer now, but she couldn't focus on the words, couldn't make out what they were. She was slipping away again. Her wolf was howling, panicky and scared, and urging Taryn to fight that dreamy state. She tried, she really, really did, but things just became foggier and foggier. Then, the blackness came. Trey reached Taryn just before her body turned limp. He'd felt it the second she'd hit her head, felt just a hint of the pain, and he'd sensed it as the dizziness rushed over her and almost took her under. Instinctively, he had rocketed through the forest and taken the steps three at a time to get to her. Panic speared him as he called her name over and over but received no response.
"What happened?" asked Dante as he rushed over with the enforcers, apparently having sensed his anxiety and Taryn's pain through the pack link.
"I don't know. Looks like she fell, hit her head, and passed out."
"Is she breathing?"
asked Marcus. Trey placed an ear to her lips.
"Yeah. She's breathing.
Nothing's blocking her airway."
He swept his finger into her mouth and shook his head.
"No."
"Good. Everyone move so he can take her inside."
Dante winced.
"Going by that bump on her head, she smacked the ground damn hard."
Tal pursed his lips and narrowed his eyes.
"But did she pass out, hit the ground, then bump her head? Or did the crack to the head cause her to pass out?"
Trey shrugged.
"How the hell would I know? I wasn't here."
He'd walked off toward the security shack and left her to make her way back to the caves by herself. The rational part of his brain told him that it wouldn't have made any difference if he had been there.
If she was going to fall, then she was going to fall, and that was that. But all he could think was that his mate was hurt and he hadn't been with her. At the door of the living area was a frantic Grace.
Lay her down and use something to elevate her legs so they're above the level of her heart. It'll help restore blood flow to the brain.
With Tao's help, Trey carefully placed Taryn on her back on the rug and then gently rested her legs on the sofa. Ignoring Dominic's suggestion that they slap her to wake her up, Trey stroked a hand through her hair, willing her to wake. His wolf was growling and pacing just as anxious and fretful as Trey was. If she had been anyone else, he would have said it was only a bump. Calm the fuck down. But this was his mate, and bumps and blackouts were just unacceptable where she was concerned. Quickly, Grace came into the room with a bottle of spring water.
Dab some of that on her lips.
Then she handed him an ice pack. And place that over that ugly bump on her head.
It's bruising already, commented Trick. She's gonna be pissed walking around with that egg on her head.
Is she all right?
Asked Greta. She shrugged when all eyes widened and focused on her.
Not that I care. I'm just wondering.
Hi there, gorgeous. You're awake, crooned Marcus.
Instantly, everyone crowded around the sofa. Too distracted by the realization that Taryn had come around, Trey didn't even shoot his enforcer a scowl for using an endearment with his mate.
Hey, baby, you okay? You scared 20 years off my life.
Damn, that light was bright. Taryn groaned as sharp, icy pains began shooting rhythmically through her head.
Oh, God. She wasn't going to throw up, was she?
She sure felt like it. Confused and dazed, she peered around her to see the entire pack hovering. Grace pushed her way through the enforcers.
How are you feeling?
Like my head has been stomped on, repeatedly, by a giant.
Tentatively, she brought her hand to her forehead and moaned at the feeling of the bump. Realizing she was on the floor, she tried pulling herself up, but her body was like jello and her elbows gave out. She slipped onto her back again, but that was okay because she didn't feel like doing anything. Carefully, Trey scooped her up and held her against his chest. Begrudgingly, he allowed the stubborn woman to take over holding the ice pack to her head.
You really fucking scared me.
Do you feel dizzy, honey? Disoriented?
Asked Grace, biting her lower lip.
Was she kidding? I blacked out, of course I do.
What about headaches? Do you have one? These are all signs of concussion.
A headache?
Trey pointed to the bump on her head.
What do you think?
Grace rolled her eyes.
All right, fine. Keep that ice pack on that bump.
Can you heal it?
Asked Trick. Taryn shook her head.
Healers can't heal themselves.
That's okay, said Grace. I know a remedy that'll clear that right up. Ice, egg whites, and chocolate.
Huh?
I told you, chocolate is the answer no matter the question.
Dominic frowned.
I thought that was sex.
Dante bumped Grace aside, startling a humph sound from her. She kicked him in the shin and then left the room, presumably heading to the kitchen to mix up her weird concoction. Dante didn't even flinch at the kick.
So what happened? Did he fall?
She frowned. Now that the haze had begun to clear, a very important detail struck her.
Someone what?
Pressed Trey, breezing his thumb along her jaw.
It felt like someone grabbed my ankle. There was no one there when I got there.
Someone grabbed my ankle,
she said with more conviction. They grabbed it, and they pulled it to make me fall. Then I was being dragged down the steps. She lifted her hands and stared at the burning abrasions on her palms. If the same burning and tingling coming from her elbows and knees were anything to go by, she had similar abrasions there.
That's probably just from when you placed your hands out to break your fall.
Dante took a closer look and shook his head.
No. Those are scrapes. You can see where the skin was peeling, like her hands were dragging along the floor.
Okay, well, maybe she slipped down a few steps.
I didn't slip.
Not liking what this could mean, Trey shook his head. He didn't want to believe it.
Baby, no one here would hurt you.
Her brow arched.
Oh, really?
Spray painting your car is one thing.
What about LJ?
Who?
The Raven.
Someone killed him and hung him upside down outside my window. That someone is not balanced.
Dante winced.
Yeah, that was some sick shit.
Killing a bird and trying to seriously hurt you are two very different things.
He kissed the uninjured side of her forehead and scanned the room for Rhett, intending to tell him to go ask Grace to make Taryn a coffee. That was when he noticed Ryan.
Ryan, what are you doing over here? Have you left the gate unguarded?
He frowned. I'm not on guard duty this morning.
You're not?
No. Tao is the one on duty, Trick informed him. Trey's frown now matched Ryan's.
Brock said you've been trying to call me from the security shack.
I haven't tried calling you at all. An uneasy feeling came over Trey.
Where's Brock?
Looking confused and defensive, the guy stepped forward.
Why did you say Ryan wanted to talk to me?
Brock double-blinked. I didn't. I haven't spoken to you all morning.
But you sent a message to my cell phone.
No. Where is it? Demanded Dante. Where's your cell? Brock dug his hand into his empty pockets and shrugged.
I must have left it in my room or in the kitchen.
Well, that's convenient. Dante marched out of the room with Marcus and Trick on his heels. Trey switched his attention back to Taryn. Suspicion was written all over her face.
They pledged their loyalty to you, he reminded her. Or maybe himself.
Not all of them. She was right. And he knew Selma and Kirk disliked her enough to hurt her. He just didn't believe for one minute that they had the guts to do it. Not only would he be very much aware that there was a strong chance Taryn would kick their ass, but they would then be branded traitors and exiled. Selma and Kirk didn't have the nerve to take that kind of risk, which was partly why they acted so big and bad. As for Hope, he suspected that the only reason she hadn't offered her loyalty to Taryn was because she was following Selma's lead, just like always. Dante's re-entry brought him out of his thoughts.
You have the phone?
His beta nodded. The message is right here. Brock spluttered. What do you mean the message is there? I didn't send him any message, damn it. Well, it's right there in your scent box, said Dominic. Brock snatched the phone, read the message, and his face reddened. Then someone else must have sent it. I didn't. Why would I? Why would anyone even lie to you about Ryan wanting to talk to you? Maybe you wanted Trey out of the way so you had a chance to snatch Taryn. You would have known that he would feel her panic and help her, unless he was far enough away that he wouldn't reach her in time. Just what were you planning to do with her, or to her? I didn't send that message. If my dad says he didn't do it, then he didn't do it, said Kirk, as he stood beside him, folding his arms across his chest. I'm not disputing that someone tried to pull you away from Taryn, he told Trey, but whoever it was used my dad's phone, most likely to implicate him and shift the blame. It wasn't him.
Taryn groaned. I can't deal with all this yelling.
Come on, baby.
Trey rose with her in his arms and carried her out of the room, through the tunnels and into their bedroom. He placed her gently on the bed and lay down next to her.
Now do you believe me?
She sighed when he didn't answer. I don't care what you say, someone grabbed me. If you don't want to face the fact someone in your pack, the people you've grown up with, could do that, then I can understand that. I really can. But it doesn't change that I'm right. Like it or not, you have someone in your pack who would willingly hurt your mate. Because I'm not lying. Angry with himself for hurting her, he stroked a hand through her hair.
Hey. I never thought you were lying, baby. Not that. Just that maybe you tripped.
Oh, I tripped. With help.
Chapter 14. There was being possessive, there was being crazily possessive, and there was this, being a total shithead. Taryn groaned and slapped her hands over her face. All she wanted was to go shopping with Lydia. It wasn't like she was planning to go shopping on a whole other continent or that she would be walking around naked the entire time. Trey, however, was totally opposed to the idea of her going without him. When attempting to bully her into taking him along hadn't worked, he switched to trying to manipulate her with a little reverse psychology. When that failed, he introduced some seriously good bribes.
As she had still refused, he was now trying his hand at emotional blackmail. Releasing her face, she looked at her mate, who sat at the kitchen table wearing a kicked puppy expression. "For God's sake, Trey, I'll only be gone a few hours. I'm pretty sure you'll cope without me."
"Yeah, but I like being with you."
That should have sounded corny or pathetic, but it had managed to sound sweet and cutely protective.
Oh, he was so good at this.
She had learned over the past few weeks that although Trey was mostly hard and antisocial when he really wanted something, he was more than capable of a little charm. He had a way of totally focusing on her in a manner that she would have expected to freak her out, but instead it made her feel adored and safe. What made it better for Taryn was that he was completely unashamed of how much he liked having her near him all the time. He didn't hold back, except in a sexual sense, in front of other people. Maybe that was why they didn't make fun of him for it. Maybe his complete conviction that it was normal, reasonable, and his right to act that way rubbed off on others, so that they, too, saw it as natural and expected. They didn't even poke fun at him when he agreed to let Taryn take him places he otherwise would never have bothered his ass with, like the beach, the cinema, the bowling alley, and even a skating rink. "You can be with me as much as you want when I get back."
"Why is it you're so set on me not going?"
Because it was his birthday in a few days, and she wanted to get him a decent gift as a surprise. But he didn't have to know that. Just as he didn't have to know that they were all planning a surprise party, or he would probably hide. According to Dante, Trey didn't like to celebrate his birthday. Something about him not liking that kind of attention. Well, that was just tough shit. It was time for him to stop being so serious. "You already know that it was Lydia who organized the trip. How can I justify taking you along when she won't even let Cam come along? Besides, you hate shopping."
"No, I don't."
"It's not like we're only visiting one store. There's going to be a lot of browsing around shoe stores and boutiques and going bag hunting in the mall. You wouldn't last 5 minutes in that jungle."
"Hey, I wear clothes. I've seen women's clothes. I'm pretty sure I could cope in a mall."
"Trey, let me cast your mind back to the time when, as a punishment for being a bastard, I took you to Victoria's Secret and tried on a load of lingerie for you, but then never bought any." His pained expression made her smile. "You remember how you were sweating and huffing and puffing and asking how long before we could go home?"
"That was because you just made me watch you model all kinds of kinky shit. Got me hard as a rock, and then expected me to walk without being in agony."
"No, Trey, that was before we even got into the store. You're not cut out for this sort of thing. Leave it to the experts." Taking her by the wrist, Trey pulled her onto his lap to straddle him. It probably wasn't a good idea, since the position sparked off some really dirty thoughts, and quickly his cock began to harden. Then again, when was it ever limp when Taryn was around? The fact that she soon wouldn't be around, even if it would only be for a few hours, was enough to cause his surge of lust to wane and to perturb his wolf. When she was there, he was content and relaxed in a way he had never been before. She made him laugh and gave him a feeling of being anchored, of having perfect equilibrium. When she wasn't there, he missed her and didn't think about much but her anyway. So he didn't see the logic in her not being with him. It was really that simple to him. Of course, he was aware of just how possessive and greedy he was being, but he also knew that Taryn would never let him steamroll her. If she thought he was taking it too far, she would let him know about it in a way that would make him seriously hesitate doing it in the future. Brushing his lips against hers, he asked,
"Is it really so bad that I just want to spend time with you?"
"That's not going to work, Trey. Especially since I know that this isn't only about you wanting the pleasure of my company."
"Okay, I'll rephrase. Is it really so bad that I just want to spend time with you and have you in my sight at all times?"
Taryn sighed. As they were mates with an incomplete bond, no, it wasn't bad. It was normal. For wolves that hadn't completely bonded, the possessiveness and protectiveness hit extreme levels, because there was a lingering insecurity for both of them. Had it only been that, Taryn could have easily waved away his behavior. The problem was she knew from their connection that he wasn't dishing out bullshit. He did like being with her. He did want to spend time with her.
And now he was kissing her neck.
Trey.
Is it really that bad?
He prodded gently. No, but...
Is it really so awful that I like having you close so I can reach out and touch you whenever I want? Play with your hair, feel your skin, taste your lips, inhale your scent. Is it really so awful?
He briefly paused, kissing her neck to lick over his mark. Not awful, she replied breathlessly, shuddering. But
it makes perfect sense for me to come and-
Ow! Son of a bitch!
Regaining her mental composure, Taryn jumped to her feet, frowning down at her mate, who was rubbing the sensitive tip of his ear where she had bitten him hard. That was for trying to manipulate me again. As Lydia and Cam entered and took in her frown and Trey's face creased in pain, Lydia arched a brow.
Have we walked in on a domestic argument?
Trey's just sulking because I'm not taking him shopping. Cam scratched his nape.
You know what I don't get? How women can spend the majority of their lives in shopping malls but still say they have nothing to wear.
Lydia snorted.
You know what I don't get? How men can spend the majority of their lives playing sports where they're being trampled on and listening to noisy mobs, yet they're put off by shopping when it's no different.
Both males tilted their heads, conceding that.
At least let me give you some...
Holding up her hand, she said, No, Trey, I have my own money. He curled an arm around her waist and drew her close.
But I know you don't want to touch that fund.
Combing her fingers through his hair, she smiled. Back then I didn't. Things were different then. Our mating was only about a deal. She adored him for being so sensitive about it. Rhett walked in and looked from her to Trey.
You asked her yet?
I nearly forgot. Dawn sent me a message over the pack web.
He smiled at her low growl.
It wasn't to dish out more insults. He was apologizing for his despicable behavior at the mating ceremony. He wants to come visit and apologize in person.
Taryn huffed. I hope you told him you'd rather cram your cock in the ass of a bear with inflamed hemorrhoids than ever be in his company again. He chuckled.
I figured I'd talk to you about it. He's a prick, but he's still your uncle. I want you to have people from your family in your life.
No, you don't. She could feel that what he really wanted was to be the only person she ever needed, wanted to be everything to her. But since he thought that he should want her to have family in her life, he had made the suggestion. Yeah, he's my uncle, but you're my mate, and he insulted you. Badly, so he can go ride a donkey naked through the desert with snapping turtles attached to his nipples for all I care. Anyway, you're my family. You and the pack. An intense pang struck Trey's chest. He tightened his arm around her, barely resisting the urge to take her upstairs and bury himself inside her body. Not so he could take her hard and fast, but soft and slow.
You might feel that way about your uncle now while you're still angry with him, said Lydia, but you might regret it later if you don't at least give him a chance.
Taryn cursed, hating that Lydia was right. She would feel like she had let her mom down if she didn't give the woman's baby brother one more shot. Sighing, she nodded. Fine, I'll give him a chance.
He asked in the message if he could come tomorrow afternoon. That too soon?
Trey shook his head. Taryn just shrugged.
Then I'll confirm the arrangements.
What arrangement?
Asked Dominic as he strolled into the room.
Taryn's uncle Don's coming to visit tomorrow afternoon, explained Trey. Apparently he wants to apologize.
What in that sentence sparked Dominic to think of a chat-up line she had no idea, but she could tell by the smirk on his face that one was coming. She shook her head at him. No, no more, he frowned.
Oh, come on, it's a good one. I suppose it must make you feel uncomfortable since you're obviously attracted to me.
She snorted.
You're denying it. Okay, then fine. Let's settle this once and for all. Smile if you want to sleep with me.
She tried her hardest to hold back a smile. She really, really did. But there was no way of doing it. Of course he laughed. Smug as all shit. She growled.
You're a pain in the ass.
Sorry, honey. We'll use more lubricant next time. He flinched when Trey smacked him over the head. Glancing at the clock on the wall, Taryn saw it was time to go. Guzzling down the last of her coffee, she gave Trey a kiss on his very inactive lips, which were stuck in a sulky pout.
A few hours and I'll be back.
The ass followed her and Lydia to the main door, wearing that kicked puppy look. It was clearly one last-ditch attempt at making her feel bad. Of course it didn't work, because she didn't want him there when she bought him a gift. So she smiled, waved, and left.
Well, it was worth a shot, Trey thought, sighing, as he watched Taryn's car leave pack territory in spite of his efforts,
or ploys, to make her take him with her. His wolf wasn't happy about it and was snarling his disapproval. As he turned to go back inside, he noticed Tao stood not far away, staring in the direction Taryn had headed. He didn't look at her with the same coveting look that he used to wear, as if he had come to accept that she was unattainable. He now looked at her the way the others did, like she was truly his alpha female, someone whom he revered, respected, prized, trusted, and looked to when in need of something. Yet he still regarded her as being of senior rank and Trey's co-leader. However, there was something that was still irritating Trey, and he thought it was about time that he addressed it. Slowly, Trey strode toward him, noticing how Tao shifted as he sensed his approach, but he didn't look at him. A month ago, Trey's irritation would have been due to Tao's attraction to Taryn, but even though he still wanted to kick the shit out of Tao for it, his main problem with Tao now was that he was still distant with Taryn, and it troubled her. She had never said this aloud, but she didn't need to. Not now that they were partly bonded. Trey didn't want anything making her feel uncomfortable in her own home, her own pack. Also, he was pretty sure that the slight longing in Tao's gaze when he looked at her wasn't for her as a mate, but for the friendship they had once had. Finally, he came to stand before Tao, but the wolf kept his gaze ahead.
So when are you going to pull your head out of your ass and stop moping?
Tao looked at him curiously, obviously surprised that Trey would even bring it up. Until now, they had never spoken of it.
I'm surprised you've never punched me. Trey shrugged. I thought about it. A lot. You've made things awkward for Taryn. She feels like she lost her friend and that she's come between us. It didn't need to be that way. You're a lucky bastard, you know? I know. Fix the mess, Tao.
He went to leave, but Tao spoke again.
Wait. Why are you asking me to sort things out with her? It's gotta be easier for your wolf this way. You should be thrilled that I'm hardly around her. Why would I be thrilled about anything that hurts her? Fix it, Tao. And soon.
At that, he turned away and went inside. Taryn hadn't been lying when she said that she and Lydia would be visiting dozens of stores. Lydia was the type who was easily drawn in by something in the display window. She had practically raided the clothes stores, hunting down dresses, shoes, and accessories. Taryn bought a few items, but only casual wear. Mostly, she was just replacing the things that Trey had torn from her body like the dirty bastard he was. Once they had picked up a few birthday gifts for Trey, they went for a light lunch, which left them with only one place left to go, Victoria's Secret. Taryn had decided to buy a kinky outfit to wear on the night of Trey's birthday, even though there was a good chance he would tear it off her, and she convinced Lydia to do the same for Cam. The girls had plenty of laughs browsing the store and choosing outfits. Lydia selected a leopard print slip, while Taryn picked a sparkly black lace flyaway baby doll. Finally, after 4.5 hours of shopping, the girls were ready to go. It was as Taryn was closing the trunk of the car after placing the bags inside that she suddenly felt two unfamiliar presences at her back. Male wolf shifters. Before she could react, she was abruptly grabbed by the hair and swung around. A hand wrapped around her neck and slammed her back into the brick wall that was behind her car. Distantly, she heard Lydia shout in alarm from the passenger seat, but Taryn knew that, as a submissive wolf, she wouldn't exit the car. Thank God. Taryn didn't intend to let the two bulky shitheads hurt her, and it would be a lot harder to defend both of them than it would be to take care of herself.
What she wanted to do was scream, "Let me go, you son of a bitch!" But she knew from experience that letting an attacker think she was scared and that he was in control was often the best tactic. Resisting her wolf's desire to claw at the hand around her neck, she asked, "Who are you?" The dark wolf with the cockeye appraised her slowly.
"They weren't lying when they said you were Dinty, were they?"
"I think you mean Dainty," said Taryn.
"They were right about that ass, too."
The other wolf flicked his mousy hair from his face before offering her a slimy grin.
"A very fine ass."
Cockeye nodded.
"They also said you were a mad bitch."
"And that you were always late."
Both Cockeye and Taryn looked at Mousy, baffled. "Always late?" she said.
"They said she was latent," snapped Cockeye.
Mousy straightened and struggled.
"Right. I knew that."
Taryn rolled her eyes. Great. She was being assailed by Dumb and Dumber. She suddenly felt like the kid in Home Alone, facing Harry and Marv. "Is there any chance either of you could tell me why I'm being pinned against a wall?" Cockeye puffed up. Maybe he thought it made him look impressive or intimidating.
"We have a message for you."
"Oh, yeah?"
"From Daryl. Tell your mate that his uncle feels it would be in your best interest if he agrees to unite the packs. He only has 7 days left before the 12 weeks are up, so if he's wise, he'll give in to Daryl's request quickly."
Anger rushed through her veins, and her wolf began pacing and flexing her claws. "Daryl?" She growled with an involuntary snap of the teeth that had both wolves jerking in surprise.
"If Trey doesn't..." "Next time, what we do to you will be much worse than what we're about to do. In other words, we might not let you live next time. We may even have some fun with your little friend there after we're done here."
"Oh, and what is it you think you're going to do to me now?" Mousy smirked.
"I'm thinking that I'd like to fuck that mouth of yours."
"Sorry, I was raised to never put small objects in my mouth or I might choke." Cockeye burst out laughing.
"She's got you there."
"I'm thinking I'm not your type either," she said to Cockeye. "What with me not being inflatable and all?"
"Cheeky bitch. You should watch how you talk to us, little girl. There's pain and there's pain."
"You do know that you're signing your death warrants, don't you? Trey will kill you." And Daryl had to know that, which meant this was probably a trap to enrage Trey. Having grown up with Lance as a father, she knew all about alpha games and could spot one a mile away. It was pretty damn possible that Daryl was thinking that if he could make Trey go against protocol and attempt to attack him before the 12 weeks were up, Daryl could appeal to the council to agree to his request. Fuck that. She made a C with the fingers and thumb of one hand and abruptly struck Cockeye in the throat with the web of her hand. He made a choking sound and instantly released her, backing away slightly as he struggled for breath. She followed that up with a sharp kick to his groin that had him falling to his knees.
"Shit!"
cursed Mousy in surprise before his hand shot out and shackled her wrist as he tried to pull her to him. Knowing that the weakest point of his hold was where his fingers and thumb met, Taryn twisted her wrist so the thumb side of her forearm was at that weak point and yanked herself free. Before he made to grab her again, she delivered a headbutt to his nose that had him stumbling backward as blood poured from his nostrils. Wanting him down on the floor with Cockeye, she quickly grabbed his testicles, squeezed, twisted them sharply, and then jerked so hard she was surprised they didn't come off in her hand. He fell to his knees with one hand cupping his nose and the other cupping his balls. Both peered up at her, wearing looks of total astonishment, which satisfied her wolf.
"Yeah, I see you had low expectations of me. It happens a lot."
"You broke my nose and nearly ripped off my ball sack, you crazy bitch!"
"Crazy bitch? Oh no, honey. I'm an angel, I swear. The horns are only there to hold up the halo. But all the same, I think it's best that you don't come at me again until you've at least learned how to wipe your ass." Cockeye spat what she suspected was supposed to be an insult. But it was garbled, because of the pain from the throat strike or the groin kick, or maybe both. "Now,
Let's chat. You can thank Uncle Daryl for getting in touch and inform him that he shouldn't expect his little plot to work. You know, I'm curious. Why would you let him use you as bait?
The wolves exchanged a confused glance that had Taryn groaning.
I can only assume that Daryl is just as dumb as you to not only think his little plot would work, but to send two guys who'd be out of their depth in a puddle.
Now, if I were you, I'd get out of here as quick as I could. I've no doubt that my friend called her mate, who will have told Trey what's going on, so he's most likely on his way here. They hadn't even been smart enough to think of that. She was kind of insulted that Daryl thought these two were a match for her.
You're letting us go?
Said Mousy. She shrugged. I'd be playing into Daryl's hands if I didn't. Besides, it would be like handing over two mentally handicapped kids to a sociopath. But before you go, you can help me out with one thing. How did you guys know where to find me? I know I wasn't being followed. I'd have sensed you long ago. Unless, of course, they were good at what they did, and Twit and Twat here certainly weren't. Cockeye's face instantly closed down. Apparently, she wasn't getting any information from that corner. Mousy, on the other hand, shrugged, as if the answer was simple.
Daryl's informant from your pack told him you'd be... Ow!
He scowled at Cockeye, rubbing the spot on his head where Cockeye had hit him.
Hey! What did you do that for? You just don't know when to shut up, idiot.
Their arguing faded into the background as the implications of what Mousy had said finally settled into her brain. Sure, she'd known she wasn't liked by everyone in the pack. And she'd known that one of them hated her enough to vandalize her property, kill her bird, and even cause her to have a bad fall. But for one of them to be an informant for Daryl? For someone to betray Trey so completely? She was surprised by just how much it hurt. Turning her attention back to the idiots at her feet, she gestured with her hand as she ordered,
Go! Get out of here!
She watched as they hobbled away, constantly casting her suspicious glances. Her wolf growled her disappointment, wanting to rip out both their throats for daring to touch her. Only after Taryn saw them drive off in a transit van did she get into her own car. Lydia was trembling and panting.
You okay?
You fought them, said Lydia, wide-eyed. I can't believe you fought them. I was expecting you to trick them and get away, not to...
Did you call anyone? Lydia double-blinked, shaking her head as if to clear it.
Yeah, Cam.
Which means Trey and some of the pack will probably be on their way here.
Why did you let those two guys go?
Taryn glanced at her face in the mirror of the sun visor and cursed. As she'd suspected, there was a small cut on her forehead from when she'd butted Mousy. This was going to make Trey's reaction so much worse. Jamming the keys in the ignition, she threw the car into gear and reversed from the parking space. Call Cam. Tell him we're making our way back. Nodding, a still shaky Lydia fished her cell from her pocket.
Cam, it's me. No, she's fine. She kicked their asses. We're just on our way back to... No, they... got away. Taryn can explain. Really, I swear she's fine.
Taryn and Lydia both winced as they heard Trey yelling in the background.
Taryn, Trey wants to talk to you. I'm going to put him on speakerphone.
Taryn, tell me you're okay, baby, he demanded through his teeth.
I'm fine. Really, we're...
What the hell happened? Where are the bastards? Did they touch you, Taryn? Tell me they didn't touch you. I swear to God, I'll...
Knowing what he meant by touch, she quickly assured him, No, they didn't touch me.
Who the hell were they?
We'll talk about that when I get home. She knew for a fact that if she mentioned Daryl, the guys would drive straight to his territory, playing into his hands. We're about 10 minutes from Bedrock. Where are you?
I don't know. 5 minutes away from the mall, maybe?
She had thought about asking him to turn back and she'd meet him at home, but hearing how frantic he sounded, she knew that the sooner he saw her safe and unharmed, the better. Then we'll probably come across each other soon enough. We'll keep a lookout for you. Approximately 3 minutes later, the two cars were parking on the side of the road. She hadn't even had a chance to switch off the engine before the door was quickly yanked open and she was practically snatched from her seat. As soon as Trey had her in his arms, with her limbs all curled around him, the constricting sensation in his chest began to ebb slightly. She was safe. She was there. She was okay. When Cam had burst into his office and told him about Lydia's call, Trey was pretty sure his heart had stopped for a moment. Fear for Terran's safety had instantly blasted through him, galvanizing him into action while at the same time completely fucking up his thought processes. His wolf had howled inside his head, fought for supremacy with such strength that Trey had been wincing in pain. Had the other males of his pack not been there to keep him calm, he might have shifted right there in the car as he drove like a man possessed. Trey buried his face in the crook of her neck and swam in her exotic scent. And that was when he smelled the scent of the other male. Terran gasped as Trey pulled back and she saw his eyes flash wolf.
Trey, I can smell him on you.
Trey trailed his finger over her neck.
He had his hand here.
His gaze landed on the tiny wound on her forehead and a long, chilling growl spilled from his throat.
He hurt you.
She framed his face with her hands, capturing his gaze.
No, I got that teensy little cut when I headbutted him and broke his nose. I'm fine.
What the hell happened?
Asked Dante as he hurried to their side with the enforcers on his heels. Ignoring them in favor of keeping her mate calm, she lightly dabbed a kiss on Trey's lips. Then, one on each cheek and another on his lips.
I'm okay.
With each soft kiss, the tension ruling his body began to lessen, but only ever so slightly. He was nowhere near calm, and it wouldn't take much for him to leap to an irrational state.
Can we talk about this on the way home?
She tried to sound a little vulnerable and shaken in the hope that it might shift him from needing revenge to needing to comfort her.
Good old Cam,
not at all aware of her plan, suddenly approached and said,
Lydia's just told me they said something about Daryl. That true?
Fan-fricking-tastic. Just like that, Trey's body stiffened and his arms fell to his sides, making her slide down his body. He stepped away, panting and growling.
My uncle?
Terran shot Cam an annoyed glare. Looking nervous, he took Lydia by the arm and led her to Terran's Hyundai. A good thing, since she didn't want to mention the informant in front of anyone other than Trey, Dante, and the enforcers. It wasn't that she suspected Lydia or Cam, but she wasn't sure she could trust them not to panic or to keep quiet about it. She returned her focus to Trey.
It was just a pathetic attempt at making you agree to unite the packs.
So he set that up. He ordered them to hurt you.
I'm surprised you didn't sense them following you, said Dante.
Anger flashed across her face and Trey tensed.
What? Tell me,
she sighed.
Apparently, someone from our pack told Daryl where I'd be.
She winced as his face turned purple. Then he was striding purposely toward his Toyota.
No prizes for guessing where he was going.
She dashed after him and leaped onto his back, locking her arms around his neck and her legs around his middle.
Trey, no, listen to me. You can't go after him. It's what he wants.
He continued onward as if she wasn't even there, completely undeterred by her weight. Though it was fair to say she didn't weigh that much. Deserting her plan to placate him, she took another approach. She kicked her legs madly and bit his ear.
Trey, don't do this, for God's sake! Will you just listen?
Trey halted abruptly and shifted her so that she was once again wrapped around his front. He held her gaze as he growled,
Don't, Terran. Don't ask me to ignore this. You are my mate, and he sent two wolves after you. It doesn't matter that you kicked their asses. He wanted you beaten, maybe even worse. To add to that, he has one of my own wolves betraying me, betraying you.
I know it's bad, but
you've always known who and what I am. You've always known what I'm capable of. Don't ask me to ignore what he did to you. Don't ask me to be something I'm not.
That's not what I'm doing. I know you want to shred the bastard into tiny pieces. You're not alone there. All I'm asking you to do is put a pin in it, just delay it for a while. You have to see that it's a trap.
A trap?
Asked Ryan.
No shifter would dare harm another shifter's mate unless he was hoping to die a long, painful death. He will have known that Trey would react 10 times worse and most likely go feral. He's probably getting desperate now. The 12 weeks are almost up. If he could get you to go against council protocol and attack within the next 7 days...
She didn't need to say more, knowing he would see her point.
"Makes sense," Tao said after a minute. The other males nodded, other than Trey.
Taren dabbed another kiss on Trey's lips. He thinks he's got you all figured out, but he hasn't. You might be the wolf shifter version of the black mamba snake and have homicidal urges from time to time, but you're also smart. Smart enough to know that if you go to him now and react like he wants, you're giving him power over you. Smart enough to know that the important thing now is to figure out who his informant is before they feed him more information. Trick stepped forward.
She's right, Trey. I say we let Daryl sweat. He'll know he's not going to get away with it. Leave him to sit and wonder what you'll do and when you're going to do it.
Trey snarled at the suggestion.
And what if he does go after her again? Huh? What if I put a fucking pin in it, and then he sends more wolves after her in the meantime? He'd most likely send an even larger number the next time just to be sure she gets the beating he ordered.
Growling, Taren gripped his head and turned it sharply so that she could stare into his eyes. You listen to me, psycho boy. You might be happy to give your uncle the satisfaction of falling into his trap, but I'm not. Here's what's going to happen. We're all going to calm down and drive back to Bedrock, and you're not going to give me any shit about it, or so help me God, I'll beat you so bad you'll have to put toothpaste in your ass to brush your teeth. There was a moment of quiet before some of the guys chuckled and others just smiled.
I think she's having caffeine withdrawal, said Dante.
Trey sighed in frustration. Why did she have to be right? All he wanted was revenge. Was that really that bad? He didn't think so, nor did his wolf. But as Taren pointed out, that was what his uncle was counting on. Well, if Trey was going to do something totally out of character and delay his revenge, then there was going to have to be a few changes around here. He pinned his little mate with a look.
No more telling me to stay behind. If you leave Pack territory, I'm right there with you.
Not liking his tone, but recognizing how hard it was for him to back down, Taren nodded. Got it.
And if he comes after you again, don't expect me to play the waiting game any longer.
Sure thing, Flintstone. Now let's go home. Apparently not willing to part with her just yet, he ordered Tao to drive her car home while he pulled Taren on his lap in the back seat of the Toyota. He didn't say a word during the entire journey, not even to contribute to the "We Hate Daryl" chat that Dante, Trick, and Marcus began. She could tell that the guys were eager to discuss whom the informant might be, but they knew their alpha well enough to know that he needed time to calm the hell down before having any discussion. Knowing how much he liked it, Taren snuggled into his arms and melted against his chest. But not even that, or her feather-like kisses to his neck, or her soft petting of his chest, were able to ease the tension from his body. His rigid body barely moved other than to run his hand gently through her hair. When they arrived home, he did what he always did when things didn't go his way, brooded. And Taren did what she always did when he brooded, left him to get on with it alone. After stashing Trey's gifts into the bedroom and hanging up her new clothes, she took the groceries she'd bought to the kitchen and helped Grace with getting started on dinner, chicken curry. It wasn't exactly a surprise when Trey didn't appear for dinner. When he sulked, he did it good. Greta was the last to take a seat at the table, and her grim expression had Taren smiling.
I bet you wish Daryl's wolves had given me a good beating.
Greta harumphed.
There's no such luck.
After swallowing a mouthful, she whispered, loudly and very much for Taren's benefit, to Cam.
Does this taste funny to you?
How he managed to keep his expression neutral, Taren wasn't sure.
I've got no complaints, he replied, before shoveling a chunk of curried chicken in his mouth.
Dinner always seems to have a funny taste when she helps.
Oh, that's just the poison, Greta, said Taren. The old woman made a face, but of course continued to eat the meal, like she hadn't eaten in a week.
How much longer do you think the brooding will go on for? Asked Dominic. Trick shrugged. Maybe a day or so. Give the guy a break, chastised Dante. He got a scare. So, you're not hurt or anything? Asked Kirk, sounding awkward. Other than the gash on your head, I mean.
Taren shook her head, wondering at this sudden concern, or apparent concern.
You should have seen the way she took those guys out, said Lydia, still a little shaken but refusing to admit it. It was absolutely awesome.
Well, if she hadn't gone out all day shopping for herself, none of it would have happened.
Greta gave Taryn a withering look.
That wouldn't